the long and the short of it is there is a public perception, of which I agree with, that every cyclist going, cycling is a sullied sport. It is a cesspool of blood spinning and blood doping and platelet spinning formulas slash HGH slash steroids slash anything else you want to. Any way that they can cheat in cycling, they do it. Probably told the story on the air before. I'll not mention names to protect the innocent or whatever that BS is they say on the air. I grew up and went to high school with a very close friend of mine that was the number one junior cyclist in the country when we were in high school. He ended up going to Penn State on a full ride, won collegiate nationals in four different disciplines all 4 years. When we were a senior in high school, he finished third in the worlds in Slovenia. He was a cyclist, like Lance Armstrong. He was the number one junior in the country on the junior national team. Like I said, he won collegiate nationals all 4 years at Penn State, and he wanted to continue with the national team, which he was on, and a highly ranked one, if not the highest ranked one, of the highest ranked junior for sure when he was 17, 18. He was sponsored by Pearl Izumi and Twin Labs and Adidas and all kinds of Power Bar, the whole deal. He would miss school. He would get special permission from the principal to go to Colorado to train with the national team. This guy was the deal. And this is back in the 90s when creatine and supplements and GNC was the rage. And it had just started coming out. And I remember back then, they would legally redline him. They would test his body composition and they would create formulas, drops, pills, powders, whatever it was, so that he could max out his potential legally. They take his body composition, know what he needed, what he had too much of, what he didn't have enough of, and they made him his own special formulas. And there's more to that story. And you can imagine what the next step would be. The next step is obviously going past legal red line to past red line. And he decided to stop racing. From what I know, from the little that I know, and you can consider what I just said little or a lot, from what I know, that sport is entirely tainted. If you're competing against guys that are also using what the world, quote unquote, considers performance-enhancing drugs, but everyone's doing it, it's still a level playing field. Yes or no? My answer would be yes. How do you gauge who's getting more of a performance enhancement than the other? I don't know. If you want to include cycling, I would recommend that you include cycling as a dirty sport, but also factor in that everyone's cycling is dirty, and the winner of the Tour de France or the Olympics or whatever you want was better being dirty than everyone else he was competing with being dirty. My two cents. So if you wanted to add Lance Armstrong in and you're asking me to do it, I would tell you, sure, Lance Armstrong can be in it. Everyone in cycling is dirty, including Lance, proven or not. Glenn, he's the most tested athlete in the world, and they've never found anything. That's fine. OJ got off on killing his wife and her boyfriend. He's in jail for gambling and for stealing memorabilia back at gunpoint in a hotel room in Vegas. All right. Life somehow finds a way to catch up with you. You're not going to convince me that OJ wasn't guilty of killing Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown. He got off. You can get ways around things. Okay. I think Roger Federer is in the conversation as the best at what he's done compared to what the best Jordan, Tiger, Ali, Gretzky, whomever. I actually don't even know who I would vote for, who I would root for, who I would make the ultimate argument for. Off the top of my head, I would probably say Jordan, then Tiger. Depending on the mood I'm in, I might go Tiger, Jordan, Federer. For me, and there was nobody that was a bigger fan than Wayne Gretzky than Glenn Yunis growing up. Nobody. I read his stupid book. Fantastic. I got an I'm not a big autograph guy. I don't even have it at my house. It's at my father's house. Glenn Sr. has it on the wall. But we had Caps tickets growing up. I was lucky enough that my old man had Caps tickets. I tell the story often. We sat directly behind the away radio announcers, to the left of Ron Weber, the home Caps announcer, and to the right of the HTS, yes, back in the day, the HTS cameras at the Cap Center. I was not at this game. It was Caps and Oilers, the Edmonton Oilers. And they gave Gretzky an assist, and he wasn't on the ice or whatever happened. And all the guys, all my dad's buddies, this was years ago, mid-80s, late-80s. Assist to Gretzky, that's crap! Assist to Gretzky! You know, they started screaming and yelling. So the away announcer goes down after the end of the game and says, hey, did you hear them hollering for you? He says, yes. Do you mind, the guy that sits behind us, huge fan, he has a son, you mind signing this? Gretzky says, not at all. Thanks for the assist, Wayne Gretzky. The guy gave that to my dad, and the roster, the official roster that they give the media, it's matted, framed in the old man's house. That's early, mid-80s, late-80s, whatever it was. That's when I fell in love with Wayne Gretzky. So for me to omit Wayne Gretzky, short story long, for me to omit Wayne Gretzky is a tough thing to do. I didn't get to see Ali in his prime, although I'm a nerd and I've seen a bunch of documentaries and film on him. Special, special person, amazing boxer, has to be in the conversation. I'm going to go with the people that I grew up watching. It's got to be some sort of a menage a trois between Tiger, Federer, and Jordan. If I'm in a basketball mood, I go Jordan. If I'm in a golf mood, I go Tiger. And Federer's in the mix. And even having Federer in the mix is saying something to me. That's where I'm at, briefly.